Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 15th day of June 2022. And I'm thrilled to have one of my favorite recurring guests back on the program. He will be no stranger to the vast majority of our audience. His name is Virgil Walker, Executive Director of Operations at G3 Ministries, co-host with Daryl Bernard Harrison of the Just Thinking podcast, and co-author with Daryl Bernard Harrison of Why Are You Afraid? And a number of other books. Today we are going to be addressing something extremely vital, and this is Virgil's letter to black pastors, a challenge to repent from the apathy over and advocacy of infanticide. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Virgil Walker.
Hey, it's always a joy to be with you, Chris. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to our conversation today.
And as we always do, for the sake of those who have not yet heard about you, which is, I know, probably very rare, especially in my audience, but tell our listeners about G3 Ministries.
Sure. G3 Ministries was a massive conference, a conference-based ministry that has really shifted its kind of direction in that, not that we're not doing conferences anymore, but from a standpoint of wanting to be a content-driven ministry. We have every desire to connect with local church pastors. Our goal is to educate, equip, and encourage the local church in every area, everything we do. We've launched G3 Press, where we're cranking out great works for pastors and lay people to take advantage of, everything from commentaries to books. In fact, the book you just mentioned, Why Are You Afraid, was a book that Daryl and I co-authored and is on G3 Press. And so we're excited about that. Curriculum for churches, you name it, we're producing it. So really have shifted focus to really drive home the point that while it's wonderful to come to and attend conferences, and we'll continue to do that. We'll have a regional conference coming up, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and a national conference thereafter that we're engaged in. We really wanted to be able to, as a ministry as a whole, equip the body of Christ, again, encourage, educate, and equip local church pastors. And so that's what we do. That's what we're engaged in. And again, it's been G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, and it's a ministry that's founded by Dr. Josh Bice, who is its founder and president. Myself, I'm the executive director of operations, and so I actually provide oversight for a big portion of all of the conference pieces. In addition to the conferences, we have expository preaching workshops. We have worship workshops that we do at local churches. And then our executive vice president, editor-in-chief, Scott Annual, he's providing oversight for all of the print materials and all the, you know, all the books and things like that that we develop. So great team of people. It's fantastic to get up and get to work every day knowing that what we're doing really is making a difference.
Amen. And the website, for those of you interested in finding out more about G3 Ministries, is g3min.org, g3min.org. Now, tell us about the Just Thinking podcast that you co-host with Daryl Bernard Harrison.
Yeah, Just Thinking is the brainchild, actually, of Daryl Bernard Harrison. He had a blog by the same name, Just Thinking for Myself, is the name of his blog, and he'd been writing that for quite some time. He and I connected right around 2000, I believe it was December 2017 was when we first connected, and then launched shortly thereafter the podcast in 2018. We have, to date, I think we've got 119 episodes that we've done, and growing regularly. We try to connect once a month now to do a podcast, an episode, but for those who are thinking once a month's not often, these are three-hour-long podcasts. So there's a lot of meat to chew on for quite some time. And so we've been doing this for last 4 years or so, loving what we're doing. We've been a top 10 Christian podcast in the country over the course of those years, off and on. And we absolutely love what we do. We take the issues of culture and examine them through the lens of a biblical worldview, and it's something that Daryl and I really, really enjoy just talking to one another about issues regarding the culture. The most recent episode that we just dropped is called Cultural Denominationalism, and really it was kind of the linchpin coming out of the Southern Baptist Convention, thinking about how churches have start out. With denominations going in the right direction, and then we gave kind of warning signs and issues to be watchful for as people begin to take the wrong direction. And so that episode is a 3-hour episode. So anybody who's listening for the first time, not used to an expository podcast, would definitely need to buckle up, sit down, get ready to take notes, because we're definitely taking you somewhere with that particular episode.
Amen. And the website for that podcast and ministry is justthinking.me.
Yep, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Justthinking.me. Now, I, God willing, am going to be manning an exhibitor's booth at a couple of events coming up where you are going to be speaking. The first of which is going to be at High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, on Saturday, August 20th. It is titled the Just Thinking Conference, and I believe you're going to be highlighting a critique of critical race theory. If you could let our listeners know about that event, then perhaps if they are unbelievably in the dark over critical race theory, since it seems to be the topic of discussion almost daily in the media, why don't you let our listeners know about this conference and its theme?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to be there and to connect with the folks at High Point. They've, with regard to issues in their local geography, what they're seeing is CRT really creep into the educational systems. And so for parents who have kids in public school settings, they're not calling it CRT. They're really kind of disguising some of the language, some of the issues that surround it. And so this church mindfully said, you know what, let's bring the guys who've studied this stuff and have looked at it and have them walk us through it. Daryl and I intend to do an incredibly deep dive, walking them through the worldview from which a lot of this stuff originates. It's Marxist origins. We're going to, in addition to that, be talking to them about how it went from something late in the 20th century to where we are now, where we're seeing it almost on a daily basis really invade every facet of culture, everything from healthcare to climate issues, reproductive rights, you name it, it's there. And so it will be important for us to talk about those issues, unpack those for people, and then to show them, unfortunately, how those ideologies have crept into the church. When Daryl talks about these issues, he likes to say they don't just creep into the church; they actually kick the door down and walk right into some of the spaces and places that call themselves a church. And so We'll be walking through that in great detail, looking forward to meeting with the people up there. But they will be putting in work that weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, not only do the leftist government schools mask their inclusion of critical race theory, they actually publicly very often outright deny that it exists in their curriculum and do so sometimes with a laughing sneer. And the thing that's ironic is that if they really believe in critical race theory, why are they ashamed of it?
Absolutely. A lot of them are disguising it now in things like social emotional learning. And when they use that language again, it's a veneer to kind of cloud what they're doing, because like you said, they're not proud of it because everybody now knows what it is and has rejected it. So they come in with a social emotional learning. Now the learning standards are based upon issues of ethnicity or social class or culture, rather than right being right, wrong being wrong, and regardless of whether or not a student, you know, had a background in the area or not, then working to teach that young person what they need to know from an academic level to do well. Doing well now is seen as racist. Good grades are now seen as racist. Being the class on time is now seen as racist. So it's an absolute just jumbled up mess. That again, we intend to unpack and walk some folks through when we're there at High Point.
You know, that's an interesting inclusion in that description. Being on time to class is racist. So,
yes.
And in reality, what is racist is the idea that all black people come to class late. That's right. That's racist.
Absolutely. Yeah, but that's not how folks are thinking nowadays. I mean, just everywhere you turn, it seems to be that ideologically speaking, things are just absolutely upside down. But that's exactly what we should expect when people abandon a biblical worldview.
And by the way, a little correction, this is a two-day conference. It's Saturday, August 20th through Sunday, August 21st. And the theme is Deliver the Truth, Confronting the Error of Critical Race. And that is at High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania. The website there is highpointbaptist.com, highpointbaptist.com. And finally, in regard to events, I am so excited to be attending once again the G3 conference. Although I've attended and manned my exhibitors booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at many G3 conferences, this is my first regional conference. And, in fact, it's going to be my first time in Washington, D.C. in years. I haven't been in Washington, D.C. other than passing through it in a train. Mm-hmm. I have not been in Washington, D.C. since I was a young child in grammar school going on a field trip. But tell us about the G3 Regional Conference 2022 in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Daryl and I are extremely excited because G3, the Ministry of G3, has teamed up with Just Thinking to bring you this conference, Just Thinking About the Bible. It's a conference that has a focus on the sufficiency of Scripture, and the reality is everywhere we turn, whether it's issues of anthropology, whether it's issues of harmartiology with sin, if it's issues of soteriology, seeing the idea of Christ being our Savior has been abandoned for government as Savior. Wherever we turn and look, what we're recognizing is that culture has abandoned God and has embraced man-made ideology. Sadly, again, the church has effectively followed suit. I know we're going to talk about that to some degree during our time together today, but we wanted to anchor our folks, especially as the fall hits, back into the truth of Scripture, the sufficiency of Scripture to handle and address every issue that we can come into contact with. Daryl and I have done that now for the last 3 years, very, very publicly and openly, 4 years, very openly and publicly on the Just Thinking podcast. And so we really want to take some folks through particular subject matters, particular issues, and then let them know that the Bible is sufficient. Daryl and I will probably be handling most of the cultural kind of heavy lift of the apologetic component of the idea around biblical sufficiency. But in addition to that, you'll also have Dr. Stephen Lawson, Dr. James White, Dr. Josh Bice, who will also be there helping with a lot of the theological, strengthening the theological and historical components of arguments for biblical sufficiency. In addition, Dr. Scott Annual will be joining us as well. And I haven't verified this with him, but he's got something up his sleeve. And I definitely know folks won't want to miss what he's going to deliver. If he brings the subject matter that I think he's going to bring with regard to the sufficiency of Scripture in explaining and describing the doctrine regarding the Holy Spirit, I think it's going to be incredibly powerful. So this is just some of the things that we're going to do. We'll spend 2 days at Emmanuel Bible Church there in Virginia, just outside of D.C., and so the cost is really something that I know folks are concerned about, but we've mitigated that to a great degree by actually hosting the majority of our time there at the conference on Thursday and Friday there at the church, followed by a Saturday visit to the Museum of the Bible, where folks will hear a couple of presentations, and then what will follow thereafter will be people have the opportunity to go through the museum on Saturday. So that will kind of wrap up our time together. But, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be an amazing time. We've got a number of folks who signed up for that. And here's the thing that I'll do while I'm here on your show. For a limited time, we'll offer a discount code for 30% if folks go in and register and use the code G3JT. Okay, so if they use the code G3JT, they'll get 30% off and in the way of a discount on their registration.
Wow, and that's JT for Just Thinking.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's going to be a Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th in Washington, D.C. The website for more details is g3min.org, g3min.org. And that's 1 week before my annual, or should I say biannual, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, and this year we are featuring Dr. James R. White, since D.C. is not very far from where I am right now. And so you will be hearing ads for the Pastors Conference if you are a man in ministry leadership, whether you are a pastor, an elder, and by the way, folks, I believe that's the same office, a deacon, any kind of a parachurch leader, you are welcome to this free conference. And that will be a Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And you will hear the ads to give you more details. Well, that brings us to our theme today, a very controversial theme. You wrote a letter, an open letter, to black pastors. And I want you to let our listeners know what the motivation was for you to do this. And just to let our listeners know, they might not be aware of this, but my guest, Virgil Walker, is a black man. I don't think that the melanin content in his skin it gives him the only liberty, or to give him only the liberty and those with shared skin color to write such a letter. But I think that to many, it would appear to be an act of racism otherwise. I don't believe that that's a fact, unless, of course, the person writing the letter was, in fact, a bigot of some kind. But it does add power to the letter, I believe, just because of the mindset that is ingrained into the populace globally, especially in the 21st century. But why did you, as a black ministry leader, write this letter to pastors, and what was the motivation behind it and the theme?
Yeah, thanks for asking the question. For me, as a lot of folks are aware, as the Roe v. Wade, the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the Dobbs-Jackson decision that came out, you began to see within evangelical circles a few typical responses. One, you had folks like me who had been on the front lines of that battle for years. I spent quite a bit of time in front of an abortion clinic for the course of about 6 years, regularly, consistently, pleading for the lives of the babies that were walking in with, you know, the mothers, pleading with the mothers for the lives of the babies that were in their womb. And so having been on that side, never thinking in my lifetime that I would see the overturning of Roe, I was absolutely ecstatic. And I think that's a natural response for anyone who cares about these issues, who's spent time involved in trying to rescue these little ones. That would be the response. Unfortunately, what I began to witness was an evangelical response that was varied. So you had folks who were happy. You also had folks who wanted to temper that, wanted folks to temper that. And their thought process was, well, pro-life really isn't fully pro-life until we provide womb to the tomb benefits for mothers who are having these children, and that we really haven't done our job yet until we've provided that kind of a resource. And so you had that response, and then finally you had the folks who you know were silent, absolutely silent on the issue. And I was really made note of the folks who were silent on the issue. As I've continued to survey culture, specifically because the black church, the quote-unquote black church, is something I came from, right? We definitely recognize that there's only one true church, and that church is not made up of one color or another, but I think folks understand when I kind of label a predominantly black church as the black church, coming from that cultural background, I thought, let me see what some of the guys that I know in those spaces are saying. And I was absolutely jaw-dropped, not simply by the silence, but by the absolute promotion of issues that point women to a pro-choice position. Pastors who emphatically said in the pulpit that, you know what, God is pro-life, but God is also pro-choice. And what they meant by that, or what they were trying to leverage, was that God gives us choice, with the idea that God would promote the murder of the babies in the womb. They wanted to convolute those issues so that people would could be ambiguous about their positions. And so as I began to see that, not once, not twice, but time and time and time and time again, I really truly got fed up and decided that I was going to pen this letter to black pastors specifically. Address those who I knew and were aware of that were silent, one in particular, and then to turn the page as well and unpack what these pastors had said in their pulpit, out of their mouths, and expose how wrong-headed that was, and to call them to repentance. So that was the motivation that really started me on this journey.
Yeah, and it's interesting how many in the pro-infanticide movement have revealed their hand, their real heart and mind, in that they are not really pro-choice at all. That's why they are vandalizing and burning down the clinics that are there to help women and encourage women and enable women to bring their children to full term and give birth to them. And it's the irony is they say they're pro-choice, and they are filled with rage when women make the choice to keep their babies.
That's exactly right. And I think you were spot on. It shows their hand when this is the outcome. And even worse than that, it absolutely exposes the vile wickedness of the pro-choice position. It exposes how really not just pro-choice they are, but how pro-death they are. That what we're dealing with from a cultural standpoint are people who are involved in a religion of death. This for them, abortion for them, is a sacrament, and the blood sacrifice is the aborted fetus. This is how they view these kinds of things. One of the things that I've recognized time and time again as I've spent time in front of an abortion clinic is the idea that the predominance of women who are approaching these clinics are victims is an absolute lie. The vast majority of them celebrated their abortions. We're fine with what they were doing. We're very clear and aware, clear-eyed and comfortable with the decision that we're making, and they were just willing to sacrifice their babies on the altar of convenience. They didn't want to be inconvenienced. They wanted to live their lives their way, and that was their primary motivation. So as it pertains to these pastors in churches who are advocating the making the choice to have an abortion, I was dumbstruck. Absolutely dumbstruck. And again, like I said, it really caused me to sit down and pen this particular article and started out with thinking through who would they listen to? Who's a leader that many of them revere? And that the idea of leveraging at least in imagery, Martin Luther King Jr. Was helpful. Though at the end of my article, you recognize how wrongheaded he actually was about the issue. I leveraged the idea of letter from a Birmingham jail, and this letter was written while King knew that he'd have a much larger audience than the immediate audience that he was encountering. I too knew that though I'm writing a letter to black pastors, I would have a much larger audience given the platform that God's blessed with. I have a much larger audience who would be able to see the issues and identify where there were shortcomings. And so I used a letter from a Birmingham jail. Mine was letter to black pastors, and then began addressing how I came to the place where I felt this letter was incredibly important.
Well, we are going to our first station break. If you have a question for Virgil Walker on his letter to black pastors, which is basically a challenge to repent of the apathy over and the advocacy of infanticide, send in your email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th. And I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favourite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
All men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Virgil Walker of G3 Ministries. We are addressing his letter to black pastors, which is a challenge to repent from the apathy over and advocacy of infanticide. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a member of a church and you're at odds with your own pastor over the topic we are addressing, or perhaps you're a pastor and you're at odds with your own fellow elders or your denomination over this issue, or whatever other reason would compel you to remain anonymous. We understand that. But if it's a general question, please give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Before we go to any listener questions, Virgil, I just want to have some other things explained by you. It seems to be such common knowledge today that the abortion industry has its roots in racism. And of course, you and I are going to be using that term throughout this broadcast. We know that there's only one race, it's the human race. We're just using the term racism because it's a part of the common vernacular, which is a bigoted attitude towards someone due to the melanin content in their skin or their ethnic origin. But it is so commonly known and can be easily verifiable and confirmed that the abortion industry has its roots in eugenics, which was a movement very big in the late 19th century and early 20th century, whereby there was a movement upon scientists and those in the elite white classes that were determined to eventually have all other races eradicated from the face of the earth, perhaps especially the black people. And Margaret Sanger first envisioned forced sterilization to be one way of achieving this, or at least to begin with voluntary sterilization, using, as she had even documented in her own words, black pastors to convince their congregation that this was actually the most loving and merciful thing to do. But then the later domino effects would be the forced sterilization and then the murder of the unborn in the womb. But how could there possibly be those in leadership in the black community or representatives of the black community who are in leadership over those in all racial and ethnic groups, depending upon what political office they hold, that they are advocating, if indeed they are pro-choice, they're advocating the genocide of the black race, and it seems to be astonishing that there would be those who are ignorant of this who are able to achieve political authority.
It is staggering to think that pastors would be in favor of this, but it is not surprising. Going back to Sanger and eugenics, eugenics was just the idea is a false scientific theory that by proper breeding of you know certain races, and again you've already covered the ground regarding what a biblical worldview entails that there's one human race, that there are multiple ethnicities. However, during that time, the thought was that there were different races of people, and if bred properly, could ultimately achieve the best race of all. I mean, this is where the Aryan race and Hitler and his ideology comes from. You have with Sanger, you have positive eugenics, which is the idea of taking folks who were who were the right size, height, weight, had the right intellect, and making sure that those people married. So you had positive eugenics. And then you have a negative eugenics, which you discussed, which really was the forced sterilization at points in time in our country's history of certain people who were deemed either feeble-minded or weren't weren't the best the dregs of society, so to speak, as Sanger and folks like her began to think. And so she had convinced pastors in the 1930s, late 30s, early 40s that this idea of sterilization and quote unquote family planning was beneficial, and Sanger and many like her thought that hey this was that the way that they sold this idea to pastors was this was the economic way up, right? This was the way for you to if you had fewer kids you'd have more money for yourselves and you'd be able to climb the ladder of success. The problem with that was twofold. One, blacks were already, from a financial standpoint, relatively speaking, doing well during that time frame. And then secondarily, what you had going on was this idea that if we want to assimilate into what white culture says, we're going to follow what this lady says. And so you had these duped pastors who followed what she said and began teaching and preaching these ideas that brought about A, eugenics, and B, would eventually bring about abortion. Now, what's happened is Planned Parenthood and other organizations have gone through and whitewashed a number of the things that she said. So today it's more difficult, unless you have original source material, her own writings, to verify what she's actually said. If you go onto Planned Parenthood's website now, they'll have all this stuff about Margaret Sanger, and they'll have the revisionist history about the things that she said, and changing it so that its meaning sounds a little bit lighter to the ear. But the reality is that was her diabolical plan. And it works more now today than ever. And today what pastors are doing is they're really beholden to the feminist movement that actually promoted women like Sanger. They're seeing that in their churches and in their congregations, women have bought on to the idea, A, that they don't need men, particularly in black settings. A, they don't need men. Statistics show that only 1 in 4 are actually marrying. So their thought is, hey, we don't need men. We've been married to the government, or I've got so much education, a man I don't need a husband, to help take care of me or have any traditional form of idea or identity connected back to, our Judeo-Christian founding, that one man, one woman is a great idea to produce children. It provides a wonderful foundation. They've abandoned that whole notion for the idea that if they can get a job, do well, and not have anything impede their success, meaning that as long as they don't have to have a child, they're able to continue to climb the corporate ladder and move forward. Well, churches are now packed, not with men. Black churches in particular are packed, not with men, but with a lot of women. And so in an effort to appeal to these women, today's pastor advocates for those things that he believes the women in his congregation would want, and the vast majority of them, sadly, prefer. They got to where they did by having abortions and by advocating for this kind of idea. So that's how you get the whole turnaround today, where black pastors are advocating these horrific ideas and notions.
I know that you're a lot younger than me, Virgil, but I can remember in the late 70s, perhaps in the early 80s, when Faye Waddleton was elected president of Planned Parenthood, and she debated Randall Terry, who was the founder and leader of Operation Rescue, a pro-life organization. And during that debate at some point, Randall Terry kept repeating to Faye Waddleton the question, how could you, a black woman, be president of an organization that was founded to eradicate the black race off of the face of the earth? And Faye Waddleton must have known this because she, over and over again, completely ignored the question. She kept trying to speak over Randall Terry as if he didn't even exist, as if he wasn't in the room, and she was just totally ignoring the fact that this very important question was being asked. Is it your experience, or at least your impression, that many of these people in leadership, whether they be in the clergy or in political office, are really aware of this, but they just for some reason have been duped and convinced that it is most expedient and for the betterment of their status, their power, their success to maintain the myths that leftist bigots have produced and continue to perpetuate?
Yeah, there's in my mind, Chris, I think that's a great point that you make, and kind of thinking through. At the end of the day, I think that no pastor today, no black pastor in particular, like the folks in the 30s and 40s, has been duped. You may be able to make an argument. There may be an argument that's made, perhaps that Sanger did a great job of duping a number of black leaders in the late 30s and 40s to believing that A, it was only, you know, this was only voluntary sterilization, and B, that it was to the benefit of black people for the purpose of their economic empowerment. That kind of a storyline might have worked during that time frame. Today, sadly, I think what's happened is that what you have is the tribalism that is a part of the African American community. To the degree that they would end up voting for the Democratic Party, to the point where 90% of the votes in black communities are moving in a, you know, are not moving, are actually anchored in the Democratic Party. And in order to maintain their quote unquote black card, they have to vote Democratic. As a result, pastors are having to find themselves advocating for these positions. Now, I don't believe that they wrestle with this. I don't believe that they think, oh, this is, you know, I really am going to have a hard time in the pulpit talking about this. No, I think they've been bought and sold by Democratic Party, who has signed off on this cult of death, and these pastors have no choice but to continue to promote it. I'll give you a quick example, and that is that, you know, you had during the presidential run of Barack Obama, you had him meeting with Rick Warren, and then on the issue of homosexuality, he said during that time, you know what, he knew the right answer to provide. The right answer was marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, he's thought about it. That's kind of where he lands, and so that rang good for the evangelical ear. But years later, as he walks into this idea of having evolved from that position into one where now the White House, after the Obergefell decision, is painted in rainbow colors, rainbow lights, black pastors, because they had latched their wagon to Barack Obama, had to go along with them. They would not in any way, shape, or form vocally or openly address the anti-biblical positions that he had. And so these folks aren't duped by any stretch of the imagination. This is what they've latched their wagon to, and that's the direction they're headed.
Now, in your experience, do you believe, as I have heard, that there is a substantial divide very often, and perhaps not every case, but very often there's a substantial divide and contrast between the average African-American church and their clergy and what the clergy advocates and pushes and what the congregation individually advocates and pushes. I have heard, for instance, that the majority of professing black Christians, no matter how they vote politically, are pro-life, they are pro-biblical marriage and anti-same-sex marriage. And in fact, when I was living in New York, when the legalization of same-sex marriage was in the forefront of the political arena and constantly the focus of TV, radio, and newspaper and magazine articles, there was quite a significant outcry against this, even by the black clergy who are liberal in most of their ways, at least liberal in the way they voted, and even some of the black politicians in the earlier years of 2000 and in the late 90s. But that's just speaking about the same sex issue. But as far as the clergy and congregation divide, do you believe that that is actually an accurate assessment, that the clergy tend to be far more leftist?
Well, I would argue that, first let me answer that emphatically, no. No, that's not the case. There was a time, and I would argue after the election of Barack Obama, that time died. But prior to that, there was a time, the time you mentioned in the 90s, late 90s, where blacks, for the most part, were fiscally, liberal. Financially, economically liberal, meaning that they wanted to see their government provide big government cash bailouts of every kind, way, shape, and form. Any kind of government assistance, government programs, they were voting for the person who shared that kind of a vision, followed by someone who was socially conservative, because most of them had grown up in church, had a mother or a grandmother, a praying grandmother who'd taken them to church, so they had heard all the do's and don'ts, all the rights and wrongs, and so that's kind of how, for the most part, blacks operated. But after, I'm going to argue, right after the election of Barack Obama, all bets were off. They had hitched their wagon, A, to the Democratic Party, and B, to all of the ideological positions that they held. And a lot of this had to do, again, I mean, we could go back and unpack the single motherhood at 70% in the black community. Those women do not want to be told that they're wrong in their behavior. Many of them do abort their child. Those who don't hold on to those children, they don't want to be at a church where someone is telling them that what they did in the way of promiscuity was wrong. So these pastors, it's not that the pastors hold this leftist ideology that they're enforcing upon a weak congregation. It's that the vast majority of the congregation holds these ideas, and so it behooves the pastor to get up and lead in that way. One quick example was,
in fact, could you bring up the example when we come back from our midway break, because we have to go to the midway break.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back after these messages. Do not go away.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002, 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. Go to solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently and purchase generously, and always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Virgil Walker, our guest today, on his letter to black pastors, we just have a couple more very important announcements. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. We are in urgent need of your finances, folks. We are at a crossroads. First Love Radio, who has been live streaming this program since we relaunched in 2015, after relocating to Pennsylvania, is going to a more strict, non-commercial broadcasting policy. Therefore, there are two things that need to occur. We need to find another live streaming service, which we will have to pay for, to live stream this program with commercials, because the only way that we can remain on the air is from the financial support that comes through our advertisers. So we cannot give up our advertising if we want to exist. That's going to cost additional money. Then we're going to have to pay an individual to edit this program so that all the commercials are removed, so that First Love Radio may continue to air this broadcast a day after the live broadcasts, and they will be it will be a version of this program without any commercials. So this is going to cost money. We don't even have the money for our August rent for this facility or our utility bills. And there are many other things that we need financing for that we don't have right now. So please, if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done with many people in all parts of the planet Earth in our listening audience. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Oh, and one last thing I forgot. If you want to advertise with us, as long as you are promoting something that is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in dire need of your advertising dollars. We are, I can't overemphasize the urgent need for financial support, either through donations or advertising, folks. So if you want to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "advertising" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question for Virgil Walker, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. Before I go to the listener questions, Daryl, we were right in the middle of a discussion before the break about how you no longer believe there is a significant divide ideologically between the leftist clergy in black congregations and the members of the congregation. There was a time, you believe, where that was the case, where you may have had, typically before the election of Barack Obama to President of the United States, there may have been more of a typical divide between clergy and congregation in regard to matters such as same-sex marriage and abortion. And you believe that Barack Obama somehow, with the help of Satan himself, no doubt, has removed that stronger barrier that used to exist. If you could pick up where you left off.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that during that election cycle in particular, men, respected men and women, really had latched on to the idol of ethnicity. And had really pushed the envelope where, regardless of what the individual stood for, they simply wanted to be part of the quote-unquote historic moment. And as a result, they abandoned core beliefs in an effort to bow the knee to skin color. And so a lot of black pastors, not all, but many, most in fact, ended up bowing the knee and serving the idol of ethnicity. And you see that continue to be carried out. But culturally speaking, in these churches, the idea that these pastors are really taking the lead and leading the congregation in a direction that they'd rather not go is a misnomer. That's not happening. These men and women who congregate are those who are bringing to themselves those leaders, those quote-unquote shepherds, who desire to tickle their ears. And so they found teachers willing to do that, and that's who they go and sit in front of. And so that's actually what's happening. To the degree that it is, I was wanting to provide an example, and it really goes back to the article that I wrote to black pastors. I was just absolutely jaw-dropped to see in my own area you had, you know, pastors who were willing to stand in the pulpit and say things that were absolutely outrageous. You had one, Jamal Bryant of New Earth Missionary Baptist Church here in Georgia, stepped to the pulpit and really gave kind of an opening monologue. I have some of his words here from my article. I want to share with you a few of these words because they're important to get an idea of what's happening. He said this, quote, "This week, America has turned back the hands of time and declared war on women in this nation." He said, I want us to stand and to say to this nation that if America were authentically pro-life, they would immediately abolish the death penalty. If they were really pro-life, they would put more money into Head Start programs. If they were really pro-life, they would seek to cure the opiate addiction in this nation. If they were really pro-life, they would make teachers feel safe in their schools. If they were really pro-life, there would be stricter measures regarding gun control in this nation, end quote. And he shared this not to an audience that was a little bit put off by what he said on that morning. He said this to an audience that continued their approval, They were clapping. They were standing on their feet in approval of this idea. And so I in my article, I didn't have time to take apart every single one of the issues he raised, but I first started with the very first one that he mentioned about being, if America were pro-life, they would immediately abolish the death penalty. For any person claiming the name of Christ not to understand that there's a vast difference between an innocent child in the womb and someone who is convicted of murder, murdering another individual. If they were simply beholden to their Bible, they would know that in Leviticus 24:17, the scripture clearly states that whoever takes a man's life, his life shall be taken. He will be put to death. That's biblical. Why? Because we actually hold a value. We believers in Christ, those who hold a biblical worldview, those who call themselves Christians, believe that innocent human life has such great value that it needs protection. So much so that if someone commits the atrocity of murder on an innocent life, their life should be taken as a result. Now, there's a difference between convicted of murder on death row and that life and the life of a child, innocent in the womb, who has harmed no one. And furthermore, we never, for those who advocate the issue of rape and incest, and those are issues where the woman has the right to abort their child, there's no legal standing in our country where the child ends up paying the ultimate price with their life for the crime committed by the father. And so those are simple truths that we know and understand, but unfortunately, the congregation was woefully short on understanding that, and the pastor himself stood in the pulpit and absolutely contradicted everything that Scripture teaches about these issues.
Yeah, you even have Warnock there in Georgia.
Yes, we do.
Who has actually attempted a Christian apologetic to convince women of their liberty to murder their unborn children, Raphael Warnock.
Yes. I wrote about him in my article as well and addressed what he shared. He found out during the time of the leak that took place, the Supreme Court leak that happened in May, Raphael Warnock took to Twitter to say this, quote, "As a pro-choice pastor," let me stop there. There's no such thing as a pro-choice pastor as
Amen.
It relates to the issue of abortion. But he said this, quote, "As a pro-choice pastor, I always believe that a patient's room is way too small for a woman, her doctor, and the United States government. I'll always fight to protect a woman's right to choose, and that will never change," end quote. So here you had a pastor advocating unapologetically for the right to choose, for a woman to choose to murder her child in the womb. That is reprehensible. These men should have a holy fear of the Lord to the degree that uttering such blasphemies would cause them to quake because they feared the Lord strike them dead in the pulpit. But the reality is these places aren't churches, that where they were standing were not pulpits. They were just stages for those men to pontificate their own ideas about these issues.
Yes, it's just repulsive to the point of being speechless. Let's go to some of our listener questions. Let's see here. We have Andrew, and he is a black listener in our audience in Brooklyn, New York. And he says, "What will it take to make black pastors and black Christians as a whole to see the need to address both the unborn issue and the LGBT issue? What will it take for them to see that these are not just issues for white evangelicals to care about? Do we need a black Kim Davis or a black Jack Phillips before they realize this?" And again, I said that's Andrew in Brooklyn, New York. What's your answer to that?
Yeah, Andrew, thanks so much for the question. I would say if Scripture was not sufficient, there's no leader that's going to going to persuade them otherwise. The real issue here that I'm beginning to deal with regarding these men are that they are not regenerate. They do not. This is not an idea of they're woefully ignorant on the issue. They're hearing the issues against the pro-choice position. They're ignoring those positions, and they're advocating for that which is antithetical to Scripture. I can only assess, based upon that there's no Holy Spirit residing on the inside of them to confirm what the Scripture has to say about these issues. And so, therefore, these are not churches. These are not pastors. Those are not pulpits. These are men who've gathered based upon their own personal charisma, people around them, and these people have attached themselves to teachers who are willing to scratch their ears for the purpose of their own benefit.
Thanks again, Andrew. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, I have heard Chris Arnzen promote a documentary on his program called Ma'afa 21, and I was wondering if your guest today, Virgil Walker, has ever seen this. Yeah, that's I don't know if you've seen it, Virgil, but it's a powerful documentary hosted primarily by black Christians. The word Ma'afa, M-A-A-F-A, means genocide in Swahili, and it's really a very thorough documentary about the roots of abortion being found in eugenics, racism, as we were mentioning earlier, the vision of eradicating the black race and other non-white minorities and ethnic groups off of the planet. And really powerful stuff. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. So years ago, definitely saw that. The filmmaker of Mark Krucher is a brother who's been involved in kind of the work in that area for quite some time regarding getting the message out, getting the information out. They have a great website. But it's interesting that I remember seeing the video of the documentary years ago on YouTube. Now, since that time, that documentary has been removed from YouTube because it violates their code of ethics. And so organizations like those who are getting the word out, they're being pulled off of websites, being pulled off of social media platforms and the like. And so, it's one of those things that it's important to know those groups and support them in the best way possible. But yes, very familiar and had watched that documentary years ago.
Yeah, and by the way, the website of the documentary itself, so you can bypass YouTube since it's apparently no longer there, is maafa21.com. M as in Michael, A, F as in Frank, A, 21.com. And some of the interesting revelations in that documentary that actually I had heard for the first time there were the fact that many left-leaning individuals and organizations well-known to the black community and supported by a significantly large segment of the black community who acknowledged and seemed to be fully aware of the design of abortion to eradicate the black race off the planet and who subsequently, therefore, opposed abortion were renowned comedian Dick Gregory, who just passed not long ago, and the Black Panthers. So this is not something that has been really... it may have been hidden and buried for the normal person or the average person, average citizen, but they were not that difficult to discover these facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So bring us to some of the more specific things that you bring up in your letter to black pastors in order to see these words of yours hopefully and prayerfully be used by God and the Holy Spirit to transform the hearts, minds, thinking, and actions of the black pastor and the black church at large.
Yeah. Well, I really kind of trace where these quote-unquote pro-choice pastors, like I said, there's no such animal, where they came from. And I started tracing back to the conversation we had earlier about eugenicist Margaret Sanger. But I list out three primary reasons that really served as a catalyst for for this ideological shift from being connected to a Judeo-Christian view of life, a Judeo-Christian view of sin, understanding that murder is wrong, to where we are today. And those three things are these: one, financial partnership with white liberals. A financial partnership with white liberals. They were those pastors, even in the 1930s, 1939, 1940, under Margaret Sanger's Negro Project, they were benefited by promoting promoting her ideas in those local churches. The second thing was political gain. It allowed most black pastors to be seen politically speaking within at least their communities, and their hopes for the most part were within white circles as relevant, as important, as having some level of ability to provide some backup, some support for their ideas. And then thirdly, the cultural popularity to win the approval of feminists. And that's what we're seeing more and more today. The idea of feminism and that women need abortion so that they can climb the corporate ladder and not have any impediment to their success. That's a feminist idea. It's run roughshod throughout culture, and it's definitely seeped into the church. And so pastors wanting to appeal to those feminists within their crowd are saying the kinds of things that are antithetical to biblical worldview. I kind of go through and show how, and you're probably very aware of this, how in 1977, Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, was pro-life.
Yes.
He advocated for issues regarding pro-life. He said this, quote, "Those advocates that are taking life prior to birth and are not calling it killing or murder, they do so because they understand that it would imply the baby in the womb is somehow human." You look at his words there. He recognizes, the whitewashing, of the language, so that it doesn't sound like there's a taking of the human life. That was in 1977. Of course, by the time he got ready to run for political office again on the Democratic ticket, he knew that there was something that he was going to have to give up in order to do that. So in 1988. You would hear Jesse Jackson say this, quote, "Women must have the freedom of choice over what they do with their bodies," end quote. So here he's moved from a biblical position to, in 1988, to an unbiblical position.
That was approximately when he was running for president, coincidentally, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That was the whole point and purpose of doing what he did. So you're seeing the movement, the shift, all of it is for the purpose of political expediency. All of it is for the purpose of financial gain. All of it for the purpose of attaining to some degree, some measure of status within a feminist culture. And so I laid that out kind of at the outset. I talked about the pastors who are both pro-choice and pro-life. And they're mainly nuancing language for the purpose of not being called out into one or the other. So that way, their goal is to offend both groups that may be within their congregations, so that they're not kind of outed, if you will. And they really spend most of their time trying to tamp down, water down, and help cause those who would be excited about the overturn of Roe v. Wade, they want them to kind of quiet down and pipe down. So that's kind of what you have. I talked about who those were and gave examples in the piece. And then finally, I went back to Martin Luther King, which was the motivation for writing the article, that he had a letter to a Birmingham jail, and I wanted to do a letter to black pastors. But he indeed was the beneficiary of the Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood Award. And so I expose at the very end of the letter the fact that Martin Luther King would not have been an advocate for pro-family, pro-life issues. He, in fact, had teamed up with Margaret Sanger to promote her Negro Project. In fact, winning the award, Yeah, winning the award, the award on his award, it reads this way, quote, "Facing jail, abuse, and physical danger, Dr. King's unceasing efforts on the behalf of Americans to win freedom for the Negro people parallel closely, listen to this, they parallel closely to Mrs. Sanger's fight for over the last half century for the emancipation of women." Listen to this part, emancipation of women from the burdens of perpetual childbearing and the emancipation of children from a future of poverty and hopelessness, end quote. That's the On the Margaret Sanger Award that Dr. King received in 1966. His wife would go and receive the award on his behalf, and if you ever get an opportunity to read her speech, you will see very clearly neither of them stood on the side of pro-life. They stood on the side of Margaret Sanger.
Wow.
What she intended to do regarding pro-choice.
Wow, and there has been for quite a number of years and even decades the use of Dr. King to promote a pro-life, anti-abortion, abortion abolition ideology, and so this is a sad revelation that he was no friend in reality of the unborn child.
No, he was not. Not in any way, shape, or form. Not receiving the Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood Award. No, no, sir.
Yeah, well, that definitely reveals either the ignorance of Dr. King over the roots of that satanic movement of genocide, primarily intended for black children, or his indifference over whether or not that really mattered, if it helped to maintain the popularity of his position in the civil rights.
A lot of what, go ahead.
I finished what I was saying.
A lot of what you see in the response by Dr. King's wife, Coretta Scott King, what you see in her speech was a very crystal clear understanding of the message that Sanger was promoting. And the message was that for the benefit of financial well-being, it would be beneficial for blacks not to have children. They need to have fewer children, and so they need to submit themselves to sterilization of all kinds and the promotion, even at that time, of abortion. Those issues were clear, even in 1966. Those issues were absolutely clear. And so that was the, they understood. They weren't duped. There was no ignorance about what she intended and had planned and had been doing for quite some time since the late 1930s. And so by the time you get to 1966, Margaret Sanger's history, background, and what she intends to do is absolutely clear. Now, move fast forward to today, where 21 million black babies have been aborted, where black women represent 8% of the population, 7 to 8% of the total population, but represent somewhere in the neighborhood of between 31 and 38% of all abortions. I would say Sanger was very successful in making sure that the communities that she deemed were not to par, were not to her standard, were not supreme, had killed off a vast number of their progenitors.
And we are going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, send it immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org. That's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnson September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first 2 issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing 6th grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast, I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia,
And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, If you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvino, and thanks for listening.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. And our guest has been and will continue to be Virgil Walker. And we're discussing his letter to black pastors. And this is largely and specifically targeting the issue of the complacency and the advocacy of the murder of unborn children by black leaders and pastors and churches. If you'd like to send us an email with a question, do it quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. We have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania who says, "The rhetoric I hear from pro-abortionists, perhaps even especially very often from those who are in the limelight of the media who happen to be black clergy or political leaders, is that the pro-life movement is very against or apathetic to the care of children after they're born. They don't seem to be capable of actually answering the direct questions about infanticide and shift the blame to the pro-life individuals. Can you respond to that?"
Yeah, you know, they actually do. The whole ideas, or the ideas behind how they navigate that, and a lot of it has been borne out in the responses to my letter. No one is again defending infanticide. The language is always obscured. They're usually obtuse in their approach. That they're not directly coming out and really talking about the issue. What ends up taking place, for the most part, are ad hominem attacks. The idea that, you know, that you're just against women, that you're not for taking care of the mother, and if you are indeed for life, then you're not for kind of ways that Jamal Bryant did. You're not advocating enough for life. If you were really for life, then here are a list of demands that you would be in favor of in an effort to promote life. Again, all of that ignores the personal responsibility of the individuals who are indeed having these children, making the decisions to have sex outside of the bounds of marriage mostly, and who decided they're going to do things their own way. Yet the responsibility, is to be bared, to be borne by those of us who have not made those decisions. That's not the one we're advocating for is the child in the womb who is A, innocent, B, most vulnerable, and C, can't speak for themselves. That's what we're advocating for. And once that process is complete. Any Christian in their right mind is going to do all they can to provide support, help, and assistance, but ultimately the responsibility lies with the mother, the father, the child, and the parents who are most closely associated with them.
Well, I have been saying for years, going all the way back to when in the 1990s, when I was working for WMCA Radio, not as a talk host, but as an account executive selling airtime, I had even called in to a number of live talk shows on my own station where I worked, including when Pat Buchanan was running for the Reform Party for President of the United States. And I said to Pat Buchanan, why is it that there isn't a louder outcry from pro-life people to have nationally televised films of an abortion before every election cycle so that people will vote with an educated mindset? They will know what's actually happening.
Right.
And I was shocked that the poster boy for conservatism at the time, Pat Buchanan, said, oh, I wouldn't want to do that. I said, why not? He said, well, that would be like televising an execution. I said, yeah, that's my point.
That's exactly right.
And I think that every church that has a member or members that are abortion abolitionists who may be in churches that have a vocal pro-choice ideology, they should insist that that church, either as a whole or the elder board or whatever, watch a film of an abortion and then have a question and answer session. Why do you think that this is such a rarely heard challenge? In fact, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I'm the only one that I hear saying this.
I get it. I think for the most part that, you know, folks don't want these clinics are in the most obscure sections of town. They're hidden away. They're difficult to find. And Planned Parenthood, they make sure that the entrance is in the back, so that both the entrance and the exit of the young lady who would attempt to murder her child is obscured from view. So that's what you're dealing with publicly speaking, and then from a biblical corporate standpoint regarding those who are involved in church, I don't disagree with you. I think that the horror, the atrocity of actually witnessing something like that of an abortion will burn in your memory forever, and you'll no longer be able to act ignorant, acting as if this is some choice that a woman makes, that it's just, you know, it's not really a human being, it's just a clump of cells. All those arguments begin to fall away. What I've learned, though, over the course of time is that many who claim to be a part of the pro-life movement aren't for the complete abolition of abortion. To some degree, they would rather mitigate it, minimize it, slow track it. And they've not been honest. And an example quickly of that is what you're seeing now with these bills in the states. As each state begins to determine what their state is going to do, there are abolitionists, those who want to abolish abortion, who are saying, give the baby in the womb, if we do believe that's a human being, give the baby in the womb the same protections against murder as you would an individual. So the individual, if someone murdered me, they would be adjudicated according to the law. Why? Because I'm a human being created in the image of God, and the same level of protection. If we truly believe that the baby in the womb is a human being, then we would advocate for this. What we're seeing, though, are folks who said that they were pro-life, who indeed believe that the woman is solely a victim, an innocent victim in the process, and that any kind of a law, any kind of a question or challenge of her victimhood is met with just, you know, a big challenge even by those who claim to be pro-life.
Well, we're out of time, and I want to thank you so much for being such an extraordinary guest, as you always are, Virgil.
Oh, you thank you so much.
Send my warm greetings in Christ to your dear brother and friend, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and let's try to have both of you on together again. I always love that as well. I want to remind our listeners that the website for G3 Ministries is g3min.org, g3min.org. Don't forget about the website for High Point Baptist Church if you are interested in attending the conference featuring Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker at High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania. That's highpointbaptist.com, highpointbaptist.com. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. I hope that you all have a safe and joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day, and I want you to all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.